Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph at the Mishnah towards the bottom, just 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. This is our second to last Mishnah in the tractate. There is a little bit of dispute about the context of this Mishnah. Some say that this Mishnah is specifically taught about Chol HaMoed, because what we're going to be talking about is bringing the Seudat Havra, the meal that's served to the mourners right after the funeral, in fancy trays and cups, and ornamental things. And perhaps somebody might think that because it's Chol HaMoed, they should use fancier kelim. But the Mishnah is going to say that you should not do that. Al achas kama v'kama, of course, on a regular day, of course, you should not use fancy vessels at all. But even if you might think that you should on Chol HaMoed, you shouldn't. The second aspect of this context here is that really this Mishnah is connected to the end of our previous Mishnah, and probably should have been taught together. The end of our previous Mishnah said, "Ve'ein mavrin ela amita zekufa." You don't bring the Seudas Havra except for on an upright bench. And then immediately it should go into this Mishnah, which continues a conversation about the Seudat Havra, that mourner's meal. Possibly the reason it's separated, as we'll see in a minute, is that this Mishnah reflects a reality that changed. This is not the way things were originally done. Originally, perhaps, the mourner's meal was brought in fancy dishes and cups and things like that. But at a certain point, as we'll see, there was a change in public policy specifically designed not to embarrass the poor, because the wealthy were mourning in a way that was ostentatious and embarrassing the poor. And that's what we're going to see. Let's read the Mishnah and then we'll get into it. Ein molichin lebeit ha'avel. You should not bring the food for the Seudat Havra to the house of mourning. Lo betavla, not on an ornamental tray. Velo beiskutla, and not on a salver or some kind of a gold bowl. Velo bekanon, and not in a fancy basket. Ela besalim, but in a regular reed basket. Ve'ein omrim birkat avilim b'moed, and here we switch over specifically to Chol HaMoed, which is one reason why we thought maybe the first clause of the Mishnah is also on Chol HaMoed. During Chol HaMoed, we do not say that Birkat Avilim. If you'll recall from earlier in the tractate, the public would gather and they would say the special blessing to the mourners in the courtyard of the synagogue. So you do not do this on Chol HaMoed. Aval omdim b'shura u'menachamin, but you do create the shura, the two rows of consolers, and the mourners walk in between them, and they comfort them by saying min hashamayim tenachamu, or hamakom minachim etchem. Upotrina terabim. After they do the two rows, they send everyone home. Because at that point, usually everyone would then say the Birkat Avelim, and they say, nope, that's enough for today. On Chol HaMoed, you can just go home. Lastly, ein manichin et hamita birchov. On Chol HaMoed, we do not place the bier, the funeral bier, in the street. Shelo lahargila tehesped, so as not to make people used to thinking that you're going to have eulogies. So there are exceptions. If a Talmid Chacham or an Adam Kasher dies during Chol HaMoed, you can do a eulogy even on Chol HaMoed, but for ordinary people, you don't. So they set up the custom that you don't put the funeral bier down in the courtyard, because otherwise people will gather to hear the eulogies. Velo shel nashim le'olam, and we never put the funeral biers of women down, even during regular days. Mipnei kavod, for the honor of the women. So there's a discussion on the next daf about whether or not this applies to all women or only women for whom there's a real concern for their kavod. They were concerned for women who died in childbirth or others that bleeding would continue after death. I don't know why they weren't able to do proper taharas, I'm not sure, but that blood would still be flowing from the body, and that if the sheets were blood spotted or stained, it would be embarrassing for the woman's family and for other women who, could imagine that that's what it would be like after they passed away. So for the sake of the honor of the women, they did not put their funeral biers down so that the public could see them. Okay, the Gemara, and we're going to do this pretty quickly, is just going to introduce and explain to us 8 changes that were made in funeral practices so as not to embarrass people. That whatever happened, there was a way in which things were being done and it was embarrassing to people. And so they changed them. They made takanot so as to even the playing field, which is a practice that we still follow today, so that everyone is buried in the same way and there's no social or economic standing that's done in funeral procedures. Let's do all eight of them. Here's the first one. Tanu Rabbanan, a rabbi's taught. Barishona, originally, hayu molichin beveit ha'avel ashirim bekalatot shel kesef v'shel zahav. When they brought the Sudas Havra to the house of the mourning, the rich people would have them on trays of silver and gold. Va'aniyim b'salei nitzarim shel arava. And the poor people would have them in stripped willow reed baskets. Nitzarim shel arava klufa, stripped or peeled willow baskets. V'hayu aniyim mitbaishim. And the poor were embarrassed when people came to their houses to comfort them that they only had simple baskets. Hitzkino, so they made a takana, sheyuhu hakol mevi'in b'sali nisarim shal arava klufa, that everyone should serve the Sudas Havra in reed baskets, mipnei kvodan shel aniyim, for the sake of the honor of the poor. Here's the second one. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, barishona, originally, hayu mashkin beveit ha'avel, when they would give they would bring to drink in the house of the Avel, and they didn't have a lot of beverages, so they were drinking wine. Ashirim bizchuchit levana, the rich were drinking in clear white glass. V'aniyim bizchuchit tzvuya, and the poor were drinking in glasses that were modeled and colored glasses. V'ayu aniyim mitbaishim, I don't know that this is such an embarrassing thing, but the poor were embarrassed. Hitkinu, so they made a takana, sheyu hakol mashkim mizchuchut tzvuya, that everyone should use, so to speak, ugly glass. Mipnei kvodan shel aniyim, for the sake of the honor of the poor. Two lines up from the bottom, this is the third takana. Barishona, originally, hayu megalin pnei ashirin, the face of the rich would be revealed. And this kind of sounds to me like, you know, the open coffin thing where you come to see, you see actually the body. You could see the face of they were on a bed and their bodies were covered in a sheet, but their faces were revealed. It's kind of like open coffin. Umechasin pnei aniyim, and they covered the face of the poor, mipnei shehayu mushcharin pneihen mipnei batzoret, because the faces of the poor were shrunken and pallid and blackened, meaning they were emaciated because of hunger. Vayu aniyim mitbashim, and the poor people were embarrassed at the way the faces looked. They were embarrassed in the way their faces looked, which is why they covered their faces. But then the fact that their faces were covered was embarrassing to them because they were covering them because they were too emaciated to look at comfortably. So hitkinu, so they made a takana, sheyuhu mechasin pnei hakol, that everyone's face should be covered, which is our practice today, mipnei kvodan shel aniyim, for the sake of the honor of the poor. Barishona, this is the fourth takana, hayu motzi'in ashirin bedargash. Interestingly, in the beginning, they would take out the wealthy in a dargash. Now, it's interesting that in our previous long discussion, in the previous recording, where we were trying to figure out what a dargash is, that nobody ever mentioned this teaching, and nobody ever said that a dargash is specifically a funeral beer. I don't know how they didn't mention it. And I don't know what to make of it, but it is some kind of, obviously it's not a couch or a bed, it's a funeral beer that you take the rich out, and a fancy one. So they would take the rich out in this dargash, va'aniyim, and the poor people, b'chlicha, in a simple, a simpler beer, like just a simple cot that they would carry them out in. We flip the page to Chav Zayin Amud Bet. We'll keep going just a little bit to finish these takanot. Vayu aniyim mitbaishim, and the poor were embarrassed. Hitkinu sheyehe hakol mosiim bechlicha. So then they made a takana that everyone should be brought out in simple funeral beers. Mipnei kvodan shel aniyim, for the honor of the poor. Here's the fifth one. The fifth takana goes like this. Barishona, in the beginning, hayu manichim et hamugmar, they would put the incense or the potpourri tachat chole me'ayim metim. They would put incense under the biers of those who had died from intestinal disease because it probably smelled very bad, and so the incense replaced the bad smell. The hayu chole me'ayim chayim mitbaishim, and then people who suffered from intestinal disease were embarrassed because they knew that people would know that they smell bad. Hidkinu sheyuhu manichim tachat hakol. Then they made a takana that they should put the potpourri or the incense under everyone. Mipnei kvodan shel cholei me'ayim chayim. For the sake of those who were alive, who suffered from intestinal disease, that they shouldn't think of the future and be embarrassed at how they would be treated when they were dead. Here's the sixth one. Barishona, originally, hayumat bilina takelim al gabe nidot metot. They would tovel all of the vessels of women who died when they were nidot. Because the women were tmeya, so they would tovel them before the funeral. Vayu nidot chayot mit bashot, but the women who were nidas, who were alive, were embarrassed because now everybody then knew that it's a sign that a person died when they were a nida, and that's a private matter. Hitkinu, so they made a takana, shihumat bilin al gabi kol hanashim, mehnek vodan shel nidot chayot. So therefore then they established that anytime a woman died, they toveled all of their vessels anyway, whether or not they were a nida. Here's the seventh takana out of eight. Barishona, originally, mat bilin al gabe zavin metin, then they would also do tvila for the vessels of a zav, a male zav who died. Vayu zavin chayim mit bashin, and so the men who were zavs who were alive were embarrassed. Hitkinu, so they made a takana, sheyuhu mat bilin al gav hakol. Probably should be al kol hazavin, something like that. Mipnei kvodan shel zavin chayin, and for the sake of the honor of those who are alive. Now here's the last one, the eighth one, and this is the most famous one, and I think the most interesting one. Barishona, originally, end of the first wide line. Originally, hayta hotzaat hamet kashe likrovav yoter mimitato. This is a very dramatic statement. Originally, the cost of the funeral expenses were harder for the relatives than the death of their beloved one. And you can understand this, anyone that understands how expensive funerals are even today, especially in the non-Jewish world, can understand that that the cost of a funeral and a coffin and a plot can be a very scary experience. And not only that, but you're already suffering and in a vulnerable place because you're in grief, and then you have to take care of this, you know, this gigantic bill. So what happened? Ad shehayu krovav manichim oto. It started to happen that people's relatives left them behind, abandoned them, uborchin, and they fled. In other words, the cost of the funeral was so onerous that people skipped town and then left their loved ones to have to be buried with public funds in public graves. And I guess those were much less dignified because they couldn't bear the expense of the funerals. Ad shebar Rabban Gamliel, until Rabban Gamliel came, v'nahag kalut rosh ba'atzmo, and he conducted himself with kalut rosh. Now, usually we translate kalut rosh as lightheadedness or frivolity, but it doesn't mean that per se. We see here that the proper definition of kalut rosh is with a lack of dignity. And in fact, the idea of acting silly in public, the idea of kalut rosh, is because it takes away one's dignity. So he took away his own dignity. Now, it's interesting. He didn't make a takana for other people, and he didn't make a rule. He didn't try to change the way people were functioning. Maybe he didn't think he could do it. But he just did it for himself. Before he passed away, he made a clear directive that this is how he wanted to be buried. What did he do? V'yotzei b'chli pishtan. Instead of being brought out in fancy clothes and on a fancy bier and with a whole pomp and circumstance that cost a lot of money, even though he himself, Rabban Gamliel, was very wealthy and could afford it, he had himself taken out as if he was a pauper. And so he didn't even make a takana. V'nahagu ha'am acharav. After him, the people had a minhag, had their practice, latzeit b'klei pishtan, to go out in simple linen garments. Amar of Papa, Rav Papa said, v'aidna, nowadays, nahug alma, the people have a custom, afilu b'tsarda barzuza, to go out in the cheapest clothes that only cost, you can get them at the dollar store, they only cost a zuz. So interestingly, the last one of them was not a takana at all. It was just a real case of leadership. Rabban Gamliel showed his leadership by treating himself with a lack of dignity in order not to embarrass anyone. And after him, it became the custom, which it still is today, to do funerals as simply as possible so that everyone is on an equal footing. That takes us to the two dots, fourth wide line. We'll stop there. Have a wonderful day.